Today, we're going to jump into Kazia Therapeutics, a clinical stage oncology company out of Sydney. They're focused on some really tough to treat cancers, and the sources you sent over point to one very specific, very big challenge.
Exactly. The whole story here really is about getting past a major roadblock in central nervous system oncology. We're talking about the blood-brain barrier, or the BBB.
Right.
I mean, its job is to keep bad stuff out of the brain, but it also ends up blocking most of our best cancer drugs.
So our mission today is to break down the data and what really makes their two lead programs different. That's Paxalosib for getting into the brain and EVT801, which is more about metastasis. So let's start there. What is so special about Paxalosib?
Well, its main differentiator is pretty fundamental. As of right now, Paxalosib is the only PI3K/KTM/mTOR inhibitor in development that we know for sure can cross the BBB.
And that PI3K pathway is the key here.
It's critical. It's hyperactivated in something like 90% of glioblastoma cases. So you absolutely need a drug that can actually get to the tumor.
Okay, so let's get into the hard data. The GBM AGILE trial seems like the place to start, especially since it focused on that really difficult subgroup, right? The newly diagnosed MGMT unmethylated patients.
Yeah, that's the group where, we just haven't made much progress for decades. And the numbers here are pretty compelling. In the analysis, the patients on Paxalosib hit a median overall survival of 15.54 months.
And the control arm, what did they get?
They were at 11.89 months. So you're looking at a gain of nearly 4 months. In this disease, that is a huge deal clinically.
Wow.
It really shows that if you can hit this pathway inside the brain, you can start to move the needle.
And this isn't just for adults. The story in pediatric cancer seems just as powerful, especially with diffuse midline glioma or DIPG.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, historically, kids with DIPG have a devastatingly short survival. We're talking, what, 9 to 11 months?
Just awful.
But the phase two PNOC study, in the group that got Paxalosib after radiation, their median survival was extended to 15.6 months. That's a massive, massive difference for these kids and their families.
And that leads to a regulatory angle, right? The FDA rare pediatric disease designation.
It does. Paxalosib has that for both DIPG and another rare tumor, ATRT. And that means it's eligible for a priority review voucher, a PRV, if it gets approved.
And that's not just a nice to have, it's a major financial asset.
A huge one. I mean, those vouchers have sold for well over $100 million. For a company this size, that's a massive potential injection of non-dilutive capital. It's a really smart part of their strategy.
Okay, so let's pivot a bit. They're not just staying in the brain, they're also moving Paxalosib into advanced breast cancer.
That's right. Specifically, triple-negative breast cancer, or TNBC. They're testing it in combination with things like immunotherapy or PRRP inhibitors. The PI3K pathway is really active there too, so it makes a lot of sense.
I saw a note about a phase 1B signal, but how much can we really read into a single patient showing a big drop in circulating tumor cells after just 21 days?
That's the right question to ask, for sure. It is just one patient. But the biological signal is really strong. It wasn't just the reduction in CTCs, but in lab tests, they showed Paxalosib completely broke up these CTC clusters.
And those clusters are the real danger.
Exactly. They're thought to be the seeds of metastasis, so disrupting them is a very, very promising early mechanistic signal.
Got it. Let's quickly touch on the other assets. What's the plan with EVT801?
EVT801 is all about preventing metastasis. It's a selective VEGFR3 inhibitor, so it targets the formation of new lymphatic vessels that tumors use to spread. Phase two is being planned for high-grade serous ovarian cancer first.
And they just added something new, NDL2.
Yeah, they in-licensed that in October 2025 with the first-in-class PD-L1 degrader. The idea is to basically get rid of the PD-L1 protein that helps tumors hide from the immune system, hopefully making them vulnerable again to T cells.
So if you pull it all together, the thesis seems pretty clear. You have brain penetration with Paxalosib, and then you have this strategic focus on metastasis with EVT801 and now NDL2.
That's it, in a nutshell.
Yeah.
But I want to leave you with one final kind of provocative thought.
Okay.
So Paxalosib is an oncology drug, right?
Mm-hmm.
But its ability to get into the brain and modulate this key pathway got someone else's attention. In February of 2025, the Michael J. Fox Foundation actually gave a grant to study it.
For Parkinson's disease.
For Parkinson's. It just makes you wonder if some of these CNS-active cancer drugs might have this totally unexpected second life in treating neurodegenerative diseases. A really fascinating crossover.